Blessed him once again, Father, Lord, that we are able to be here this morning and to feed, O Lord, upon thy word. We are thankful, Father, for giving us the wisdom, Father, and the knowledge, Lord, by the revelation of thy word about this present time, and to be aware, Father, of what is to come. And the thing, O Lord, that now on the horizon coming towards us, Lord, and we are looking forward, Father, to the great day when the last trump, O Lord, shall come in, and when the thunder, Lord, shall sound, and then, Lord, truly, we will have a revival. And the prophet of God so mentioned, Lord, that they will give rapturing faith to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are here, Lord, this morning and sitting under the teaching rain and knowing that, Lord, we need to come to that place of perfection now and just get close to the Lord Jesus. And not to be so lax, Lord, in our life and careless in our walk, but to be aware, Father, of this hour. And we truly, Lord, cry out, Maranatha. Lord Jesus, come quickly. We ask even so now, Lord, as you approach thy word, for thy blessing once again in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. And then be seated. All right, we left off last week where we have in the book of Genesis again. We just want to recall something. Now we are going to the Garden of Eden and deal with a little bit of this original scene. The two trees which we are well acquainted with. But we need to have a better understanding now to be able to help people understand more about this. As day progresses, you know, year progresses, the Lord actually makes us to be more aware of what some of the thing that He has written in the Word of God, to make us to better see the truth of what is written there. So the book of Genesis, and we go to chapter 2 once again and pick up some of the verses there. Verse 8, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now here this is the verse 9 that actually give us so much of a problem to not being able to, for denomination to understand it. Because of the way that the Word of God is written. But let me just show you a verse in another part of Genesis to make us understand that this verse 9 here, out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food, it's actually a complete statement by itself. And then the other part of it, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is actually an interjection. Something that God put a certain thought into this statement, so that those who read it may not understand, yet only by His grace He could reveal it. Now we know that the Bible is written in such a way that, as Isaiah would say, hearing they hear not. They thought that they heard what Jesus said. They could understand what He said when Jesus, you know, gave up the parables. But yet in hearing, they think that they do understand, but they don't. So likewise, the same thing when we read, people read the book or the Word of God and black words on white paper, they think, well, I understand, you know, but they don't. Because as we all I mentioned many times that the Word of God, the Bible, is written by the Holy Spirit. And all these are spiritual things that could not be understood by just black words on white paper. You know, yesterday we went over to a shop, to try to get you know, our logo done, so we could fit it up there on the pulpit there instead of all this paper trying to put it up here. So we went to a shop that actually, you know, supposed to do this embroidery, you know. Well, we went there and the owner of the shop was dealing with a customer. Just only one customer, you know, with his girlfriend or wife over there maybe. And there were three staff in that room, small room. So we went there, standing there looking around, just waiting, you know, behind the customer. You know, we were there for quite some time. We walked around, he passed us, and yet our presence were not acknowledged. And yet outside the shop there was a sign. You know, we'll be back at such and such a time. Please bear with us, have patience. Well, I was thinking, I was telling Zohar, you know, it's a written word, it has no life in it. They say, yeah, that's only the spoken word has life. You know, even when you put a sign in on your chest, have patience. You know, when you deal with your customer and other customer, you just show the sign to everybody. You know, that thing is a dead thing. Written word is actually dead. They have no life in it. Now what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And likewise, the same thing here, when people read this word, verse 9, they expect life, or this black word. But the life is underneath the black word, which the Holy Spirit must open up and reveal it through the ministry, so that the word could be spoken to understand. So when we read these, of course, throughout denominational eras of time, we know that there is always a small group of people that believe the original sin, that the serpent seed. Even in the time of the Queen Victoria's time in England, there is a group, as I said, they actually believe. And they are quite scattered. But because it is not something that is popular, something that people want to accept or can accept, when especially you talk about fornication between a beast and a human being, they say, how could it be possible that an animal have sex with a woman? You know, that's the mentality up here. The moment they say, we talk about the serpent being a beast of the field, they say, how could that animal have sex with a woman? You know, and then of course, they think that of course the serpent might actually be a snake or something else, or what, walking on 2 feet, you know, upright with the tail, like some drawings, you know, depicted. But to let you know that the Bible, once again, for those who don't remember, or those who have not heard it, or those who are young in those days may be brought on this subject, that the Bible was not written, or in the Hebrew and Greek, you don't have full stop the way we have it. They don't have semicolon, colon, dash, you know what I mean? Like we have it in our English alphabet. Neither does the Greek have that. It's only we are the one that create, we want to stress important. When we use the word, hi there, we put an exclamation mark. You know what I mean? To highlight that it is a erased voice. You see. But in that language of Hebrew and Greek, you don't have it. And so, when this was translation, they have to know, of course, the Hebrew know when to pause. You know, when to stop and then continue. So, but when it is in the Hebrew, so when you translate in the English, they would have to sort of put a semicolon here, put a full stop there, a comma there, and so on. So now, but we read down here, as I said, the first part of verse 9. And all the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. That is a fact. That is just exactly what it means right there. You understand? Then he says here, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge and good and evil. That is an afterthought, so to speak. An interjection concerning the garden. Which of course, those, as I said, we are reading it, would think that it is actually two literal trees in the garden. Now, to show that it is actually an interjection that God oftentimes do put them in the Bible, you can go and see one verse in chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 7. And it says here, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle.
And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell there in the land. Do you know what I mean? And there you have it. That is another kind of interjection here. Well, all of a sudden it just mentioned, you know, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell there in the land. You know. So, that's what we see when you go back over to the book of Genesis. That we need to understand that God hid a mystery here in the book of Genesis. As we know, the book of Genesis have a lot of mysteries. And that is one book that we see. And over the other one is in the book of Revelation. A lot of metaphor, a lot of analogy, a lot of expression. You know, a lot of something like we would say, saying. And so much so that it kind of blinds the people's eye. So if we were to look for the moon, when I point my finger to the moon, I say, that's the moon, don't look at my fingertip, for goodness sake. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Look at the moon, what I'm pointing to. Don't look at my finger, because the moon is not on the fingertip. The moon, the finger points to the moon. But the moon is not in the fingertip. So if you go to look into the words, and try to surprise them out and cut them up, and we are lost, we'll get lost in them, in the whole wrapped and mazed of semantic. All words will get lost in it. You know? Alright? So, with that, let us go on and we'll look into these two trees now. Here, as you go on right now, right down to verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man. Now remember, he says the man. That's Adam. He is the man. Because the woman has not come up yet out of the man. And he gives this commandment saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. And we know that it's true because already in verse 9 says that every tree that comes out of the ground, you may freely eat. Every tree, without exception. Without exception. Because in verse 9 says that very clearly, and only after that, the injection, that there was a tree of life and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Nothing is mentioned about that you cannot eat of this tree. Nothing about that you can eat of this tree or whatever. Nothing. It's just injection. Just like that. But only in the verse 16 downward to 17, then God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. Every tree in the garden, thou may freely eat. Then here comes back up again, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, if I point to the garden, first of all, if language is correct, if this translation, the way it is translated, then all the trees, every tree, without exception, the garden can be eaten. But if I were to put it this way, thou may eat except but one tree in the Garden of Eden. You know that means that you're talking about a literal tree. You may eat all except but one in the garden. But he didn't say like this. He says, you may eat of every tree in the garden. Then he says, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you may not eat of it. That shows that the tree of knowledge, if you go up to verse 9, you know since verse 9, that was interjection, it did not, wasn't a part of those, that literal tree in the garden. But of course, theologically, man does not reason with the word of God in the way that the Lord wants them to look at it. They start to surprise them up just because it is part of verse 9. Those are two literal trees in the garden. And I said this before, if those are two literal trees in the Garden of Eden, those two trees, if they are literal, they must still be in Israel. They must still be on earth. Would you agree with it? Huh? They must be on earth. Oh, but they were destroying the flood. Oh, they were destroying the flood. How come the rest of the natural tree were not destroying the flood? How come we still have our mango and our mangosteens and our apples and our pears and peaches? Do you think for a moment? Isn't it? Why should those two literally disappear from the surface of the earth? It doesn't make no sense. So we need to understand that God hides truth from so-called wise men and prudent men and educated men. God's word is not meant to be understood by human education, human intellectual research. We can only understand God, as the prophet of God said, without the Holy Spirit you can never understand the word of God. And I believe it 100%. It is the Lord that opened our eyes. Is that right? Alright. Now, that's when later on, after God had commanded Adam, then the Lord created the woman. Now, don't tell me that for Eve, you know, was not around to hear the commandment. Therefore, she ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is not true, eh? Because Eve was still in Adam, you know. And even so, when she was given to Adam, Adam would have told her, anyway, after all, they are a couple. They are husband and wife. You know. But you know, seduction is a different thing altogether. We all know the knowledge of things today. Back in the years of the 50s, 60s, 70s, in our time, those who are in the 40s, in our time, we don't have that much knowledge of what the young people today have. You don't think so? And many knowledge concerning sex, especially, are the good and the evil. He's always hanging on this. And it's very tempting. That's the problem with the world. And it's all because of the fall that what we see in the world today, well, you know, but we all know three things that's common in the world. The lies of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lies of the eye. And you know, you see what it is all that, the power, the wealth, the money, you know, the popularity that goes with these things, and then all the sex thing that's going on. You see? And so, when these things are presented to young people, they're always caught up in a dilemma. Because, you know, after all, the flesh is always at play. And a lot of young people are caught up. And you have seen in the paper just, well, after we have heard that song, you know, the third choice. We have one child, a baby found in a locker, died. And then we have another one, teenage girl, age 15, seduced by a man of 19, and she got pregnant. And there are many cases probably that gone undetected or gone not reported. A lot of abortion being carried out. A lot even of those who don't go to abortion, they probably try to do their own abortion at home. You know. And if they give birth, if they born out, the baby born, maybe whatever they did today, the fetus died, you know, and they bury it somewhere, throw it somewhere else. And that is what is in the world today. And all because of what happened right in the garden here. But he said, who to be blamed? Blame God. He said, oh, I'll blame God. It's always the choice. I mean, the source of everything, isn't it? Everybody want to put it back and say, God is the cause of all this. After all, if He doesn't create us, we wouldn't have this problem. And I've always told them, if He doesn't create us, you won't be here to ask stupid questions. This thing won't be in the first place. So we always have to pass the back. We always want to throw everything, you know. Adam passed it to the wife, and the wife shall have put it down over to the serpent, and the family, well, the serpent told the Lord, if hear what I would speak, well, after all, you make me like that. So what then? You see? So the buck would always have to stop somewhere with us, not with anybody else. You know? God has given us the choice. God has given us grace. And the important thing we need to know, since we already know it, Not everybody in this world are elect of God. Is that alright? God already foreknown, God knows. But we need to find who we are and find our place. Alright. So when, of course, when Eve was given, then we have the presentation of chapter 3, the fall of the man, of mankind. Now let's continue with this. In the last part of verse 1, chapter 1, verse 25, he said they were both naked, the man and the woman, and his wife, were not, and they were not ashamed. Now, this word here, naked and were not ashamed, you know when we say today, if we were going out in the street, or we should be conscious of our appearance. And I believe that your sister wouldn't want to wear miniskirt now. And you will be very conscious. After all, you know what truth is. You won't want to wear miniskirts and expose your knees and the birth. Or you won't want to wear something that is low cut. Like now, a lot of advertisements trying to enhance the valuable assets, you know. And then what happened? A lot of young people are doing it. I mean, for us now, we are more conscious that of what nakedness really is. And we ought to be ashamed, is that right? But you know, when Adam and Eve were naked, the Bible said they were not ashamed. You understand that? Because they do not know anything evil. Huh? Just like a man or a woman, when they are married, well, if they are naked at home, you know, they are changing or whatever in the bedroom or whatever it is, they should not be ashamed of each other because they are husband and wife. You know. But suddenly, if nobody goes out on the road naked in that way, except a person is mentally ill or sick or whatever, and that's what people would do. You know. So here it is that they were naked, but they were not ashamed. They do not know anything that is bad, so to speak. Alright? And the Bible, next verse says, and the serpent was more subtle, and we all know very well the word subtle. People think that is cunning. We will use the word subtle as being cunning. But you know, it's not in the sense cunning as the way we cunning as to, deceive people or whatever it is. It meant more than that, the word in Hebrew. It actually meant that this a serpent, he knows or have a sense of perception, an intelligence to know what life is all about. He is intellectual. He knows by perception, by senses, all his environment, the creation. That's why he was able to then approach Eve and start to seduce Eve. Alright? Do you understand the word subtle here? It's not just subtle as the cunning as to deceive just like that. But have an awareness, a sense of understanding of life. And he approached the woman and said, the Lord said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And of course, we already know this very well. Here is, it's always the first battle. It's always a question that always comes to us. Now, what I heard, I won't want to mention here anything, but just to say this, that what the brother told me on the phone, and I said, well, that kind of confirmed me, because after all, I've heard from different ones about a certain believer. There's no shame in some of these believers in what they are doing. Physically, carnally, openly with somebody else who's supposed to be in a message. You wonder what spirit is behind. You know. And this person who talked to me told me that he witnessed it. And he just wondered too what kind of spirit is behind. A person acting completely unchristian. But there's always that spirit. There's always the unique believers. They are in the midst of a congregation of God's people. No wonder one time when another brother whom I tried to warn him of, reported to the very person who was deceived by this certain one, and he came up and fired at me and says, "How could I say bad about so and so?" So, well, I'm sorry, then I won't say anymore. You know, and he was caught up in the same trap with this certain person into the sins of this physical world, carnally. But of the same feather will flock together. And I'm saying this also, beware. We need to know who our enemy is. Now, our enemy doesn't come from outside, it comes from within. There may be a brother or sister sitting here in the church, and we feel so holy, holy in the church, but actually we start to seduce you, start to befriend you in such a way, get you, then suddenly turn around and, you know, just like the serpent. Manipulating. Until your mind is even washed by the person. We have a wrong motive altogether. You know. And that's why I do not believe that every believer who comes to this church or any assembly, just because they believe in the message of truth or the word of God, does not necessarily mean that he is going to be a part of the bride. Do you understand? We could pray for one another. Believe with all our heart that we all, every one of us here, make the rapture, so to speak. But you know, it's a very personal thing with God. We all know that. You know. Many like to say it's God's grace. God's grace, I know. I know that young people can go out there today, go on trial and fall into temptation and sin against the Lord. But he, God, speak to them and quicken them and chastise them to repentance. And they repent and come back. That's good. Because after all, we all go to trial and temptation in life. But the thing that we are facing is that when we fall, we get up, are we any stronger than before? And do we press on toward the mark of the high calling? Or do we just, you know, stay put in that situation? But, you know, that another thing is to be deceived by someone who calls himself a believer or herself a believer, and that pulls you away from the very truth that you have. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now I got all the email from a brother overseas. And what had really transpired in his correspondence? And it's true, you know. When there is always a problem in church, people are all run away from responsibility. Instead of standing and fight the common enemy, no. He said, "That's not my problem. That's the pastor's problem. Or so-and-so's problem." And they back out. And when things get rough, they run away. You know. And I always remember the song we come with that says that here we are not here for the picnic. You know, this is not a recreation time. You are here not for recreation, you are here in a battlefield. This is a battle, brother, not a recreation room, as the song says. You know. In the battle, we have only one common enemies. Not ourselves. Not one against another. But you need to know the enemy. Do you understand that? And right in the garden, there was an enemy. And of course, the seduction went on. As you all know, so they say, "Yeah, God said." Yeah. Have God said? What do we have to say? I mean, Eve know about it. The very fact is, God have said, that's it, and full stop, no more argument. Fix it. Black is black, white is white. There is no in between. Ragnar, there is no in between.
Well, just come back again to what the conversation on the phone.
You know, when the brother overseas put his testimony on my website, some of the believers here in Singapore were concerned. And the strange thing about that kind of concern, the concern was that, oh, he shouldn't put the testimony on your website or anybody's website. Because you know what? There are eyes on the Seven Mountains watching. And he is the target.
You know what? I told him myself, I'm a target already.
Are you afraid, brother and sister, of your life? Are you afraid? What did Jesus say? If you are ashamed of me before man, I will be ashamed of you, wouldn't it? Isn't it? Huh? So what are we afraid about now? The guy or the big system on the Seven Hill or Seven Mountain? Do you know?
I said, I'm already a target.
I said, some of the believers here who are ex-Catholic already put their testimony on the website. Aren't you already a victim? Are you already a target? Oh, but you know, I'm supposed to be just a layman. You're going after the big guy. He said, Dad, I'm a dead duck. Isn't it?
Well, and why am I supposed to be afraid of the man who could kill and take my body?
What did Jesus say? Be not afraid of the one who can destroy your body. Huh?
But be afraid of the one who can take your body and destroy your body and your soul.
What could anybody in this world do to you?
Chop off my head? That's okay.
You know, I don't understand believers in the anti message and yet afraid of Vatican City. Afraid of somebody up there in on the Seven Hill. How could I understand what is this all about?
You know, because our book has gone over the Philippine now, many couple of priests actually converted to this message.
Huh?
And I guess they probably questioned the priest, why did you come to this message? What book do you be reading? Of course, this priest will also actually try to explain it to them higher up or Monsignor, Cardinal, whatever they are in charge, by who?
Oh, so this is the one we report to Vatican, prophetic revelation, Richard Gann, who's going to come out there and shoot him and kill him. You know what, something like that is, are you afraid of that thing?
If we are afraid of anything, then this life of ours has no faith at all. Which means our life in Christ actually is not living on faith.
If there is faith, there cannot be any fear. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly.
You know.
Hey, yeah, God said, yeah, God has said so. Stand on the word. Believe in the truth. Confess me before me.
Now, are we going to do that? Or are we going to be ashamed of doing that?
Yeah, God have said. Don't let me say, yeah, God said. And this is exactly what the serpent came along. Yeah, God said. God have said. That's it. Not have God said. Don't put any doubt. Don't come any human reason at you. You will be a target. You will be this and you will be that. And somebody going to come after you.
I had been come after already by some madman over here in Singapore, report me to the CID and all this, and under that investigation.
You know, I went, talked to them. And then know who that came from. All that accusation came from somebody out there in the streets time.
You know. And it's another Peter, for that matter. And I told you there are so many Peter that I know, all hated. Just like Peter in the Bible, hot-headed.
Why are these people like this? Yeah, God said it, so on to get you all, try to get in trouble. No problem, brother. Remember, Your little trial, I don't think you can compare to what Abraham have gone through. What Paul have gone through. Being thrown into prison, whip and all this. He stand boldly and declare, isn't it? Remember? And then even told the apostles when they throw him out and say, don't you come back here and start to preach the name of Christ. Then what did they say? Are we supposed to be afraid of man? Oh my. God have said, don't twist it around, don't burn it up. But that's the reason why. Just take one word, dislocate one word, misplace one word, you have a misinterpretation. Exactly three things the prophet said not to do. Don't you ever dislocate a word, don't ever misplace a word, and don't ever misinterpret the word. God have said, change it around, just take one word out of it and put it in front, have God said. There you are. A statement, a fact, a full stop, became a question mark, a doubt. Have God said. And if we just say, yeah, God have said. And that is, that settles it. But now, seduction came along and after a while you know that she succumbed to that seduction. And verse 6 says that, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. And give also to the husband with her. And he did eat. Well, there's always been some strange interpretation has always been. When people read verse like this, you know, they imagine, you know, Eve went up there, you know, to the fruit, and take the fruit, and eat it. Oh, very nice. Husband, Adam was with her, give it to him, and he took that and eat it. And then their eyes were open. You know, they read scripture like as if they are reading a story, you know, as you see here. But as I said this many times, what we read in the Bible, there are historical record as well. But because it is historical record, God compacted them. God did not tell you what time He created the sun, what time He created the moon. He didn't tell you the time. He tells us the evening and morning were first day this was created. That's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? On the fifth day, He created the birds and the fishes in the sea. That's it. He didn't tell you what come first, what come last. Huh? I was watching that documentary, The Forbidden City. I don't know how many of you watched that. About the Emperor of China. And how they in the Forbidden City, you have so many people working there and nobody can go in without facing death. They'll cut off his head or torture him. And then you will have the Emperor at a certain place only with his eunuch. You know? And, oh yeah, his harems of concubines. Every action that takes place in that room are being watched by one eunuch. And he recorded in history. Every action, everything, every move of the emperor. Whatever he do. In the bedroom, in the kitchen, whatever is recorded. Hey, that must be a whole lot of volume of every emperor that exists now. Now the Bible is a volume of 66 books. History, prophecy, psychology, sexuality, what is the finance called? Dealing with money. What logy is that? I keep forgetting. It deals with finance, you know what I mean? How to everything that you want to know. It's in the Bible. Even science, health science, you know health science? It's right in the Bible. It's all there. So you cannot get too detailed on everything. The book of Acts is compacted in history. And the love of Jesus Christ is compacted in the four volumes of the gospel. The Bible said that if everything was recorded what Jesus said and done, he couldn't contain the whole. Even the sky were parchment made. So when they read this, they think that's what happened. You know, they took it up, but here you are, Adam says it's good. But that's not what he meant. You see. So, when we believe that the serpent and Eve had sexual intercourse, some of them came around and make fun. Oh, he said, Adam was there watching them doing it, isn't it? And you know, the interpretation over, you know, among the people in the end time message was so messy. Yet they said the serpent was the tree. And Eve partake of the serpent. And then give the fruit, which is the serpent, the tree, to Adam. And Adam has sexual intercourse with the serpent. So there will be a homosexual act. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, mentality of such a interpretation. Instead of trying to understand, that's the reason why don't ever splice word like this. Without understanding the expression, without understanding God hides truth. Again, when finger points to the moon, don't look at the fingertip. Look at the moon. If you have a 20/20 eyesight, so, oh, it's beautiful, round, big. And those who are half blind say, oh, I see a blind, white, round thing. What on earth is that? That's a moon. Anyway, you see it. You know? So whatever, you know, you learn until you be able to get the whole picture. God is painting a picture here for you to understand. But don't just read literally and accept it literally and that's it. You understand? Now, the Bible says clearly, she took out the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, you know you have many times in the Bible you read and. You know that almost every verse in scripture in some place, chapter 1, you can see every verse begins with and. You know in our English class, we were told not to use and. The teacher will always cancel it, put a full stop here, and don't begin with and whatever. You know what I mean? Huh? But the Bible is and. Everybody thinks and is continuing and, never and. It's a continuous thing, but look, it's just this is the way that the Holy Spirit wants to use some kind of expression through Hebrewic things, you know, as to bring a thought out. Then we cannot just simply say, oh, and it's joined together, it's a continuous thing. But then again, if I were writing in English, it says, I and my son was walking down and when we went to a Salt Lake City in the morning, and then we sit down and eat at the table at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. What? The end is quite long from morning to the night, isn't it? So you need to know what time span there is. But if I were to say I went up with my son to Salt Lake City at 10 o'clock in the morning and we have dinner. Huh? Then what is dinner? Dinner is of course not 10 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? And when we look into the Bible like this, you look at the word and realize that in Hebrew there got to be a pause somewhere and she took the fruit thereof and did eat. Stop. And also give to her husband who was with her. Well, with her doesn't mean that he's standing beside her. Who the husband was with her somewhere in the garden. If we want to read it literally like this, then you cannot interpret. You will not be able to see the serpent seed. Then you will have contradiction here, contradiction there. And the Bible, God wanted to, you know, put it here and there and show everybody. Huh? The husband did not run away from the Garden of Eden. He did not hide or anything like that. He knew what took place. When Eve came back, came to the husband, explained to the husband, and gave it to her, said, ah, taste it, that's good. And of course, the fruit tree, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, is not the serpent. Well, you can say the serpent was a tree of knowledge and good and evil, yeah, that's not wrong to say that. Remember, you are also a tree. Every one of us is a tree. Are we not a tree? Yes. What does tree actually mean? Let's go. Let us see what we see in the Bible here. In the book of Mark 8, 24, we can see in one example. Mark 8, 24. Mark chapter 8, verse 24, here we have the blind man that was healed by Jesus. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking now. That's one you see here. Okay. And then we have Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth soul is wise. You see that? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. See, it always refers to something that is living, not a dead thing. Of course, a tree, mango tree or durian tree or apple tree, it produces fruit and is supposed to sustain life, isn't it? So tree of life is something that is, you know, giving some kind of a life. Good life, bad life, whatever it is supposed to give us some kind of life. It's not necessarily be a literal tree. So it could be something else as well. So I'm a tree. You are a tree. Are you a good tree or a bad tree? That's another thing. Remember John the Baptist spoke against the Pharisees? Huh? So the tree, the axe is laid to the root. Every tree that is not bear good fruit will be hewn down. So what kind of tree are we? We are all trees of life. Do you know that? Jesus is the tree of life. So are we the tree of life? You see. Tree of knowledge and good and evil are those brothers or sisters that seduce others and sow discord. That's what we call tree of knowledge and good and evil. You know. You got some knowledge from something about something and then start to whisper around and try to kill somebody else. And that's what the serpent did. He had that sense of perception of what is good and what is bad. Being used of Satan to vicariously produce a seed. And that seed, of course, is Cain. So when Eve came to Adam to give him the fruit, and that fruit, of course, is not the serpent that you partake of. It's something that is present to the sight, something that looks good to eat. Every time you look at something, a fruit tree, and that's very true, eh? When a tree doesn't bear fruit, nobody cares about looking at it. Don't you think so? Every time you pass a road, or you pass a plantation, or you pass by, you know, oh, this tree, yeah, this is a tree, just walk past. But one day when he passed by, he said, whoa, look at the mangoes, look at that, peaches, oh my. Then you were standing there, you look, and then you start to say, oh my, oh, it must be sweet. You know, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, the tree is useless, you know. There's nothing to offer, but when there's something to offer, everybody, it's the same thing. Men and women are the same. I think you all know what I'm saying. Go down to a shopping mall. You ever see a young man They hang around and what they say to watch the birds goes by. Huh? They will see girls walking by and they look, oh, this one is beautiful. You know, I heard so many of these young men make comment, wow, that one's steady lah. That one's terrible. Then you'll make comment when girls walk by, you know. Those are very loud that people can really hear. You know? And that's what is presented this way, a fruit. So the same thing when sex is offered. When sex is offered on the street, and well, that's up to them young men. I remember when I first was in Hawaii, and those in Hawaii was bad. Waikiki area, Oahu, that place, or the marketplace, you know, I think all those of you have been there, you know, what kind of marketplace I think it is. You know, I just went out for a walk to, because the children were in bed, they were young, and Tracy was tired, and just went around looking in. You get a lot of young lady come by, passing me by, asking me this, and pass by men on this. You know what? They're dressed so sexily in skimpy clothes, they come up to a man and ask, do you want a date? Just like that. You know? You know, if you are not quick enough to say, look, I don't have money, I don't have the time, I'm not interested, get lost. You'll be tempted. And I've seen scenario. One time I passed by, one came up to me and says, nope. And as I walked 3 footsteps down, there was a voice behind me, and there was a young man calling to her. And I turned around and looked, and the man, young man, took her. You see, this is how it is. There's something that is being offered, pleasant to the eye, sweet. But I have seen one case, right in a pharmaceutical store. A lady was harassing a man. And the man told her, he said, you better get out of here, or else I'll call the police. Very persistent. You know what I'm saying? Now this is what is being offered. Pleasant to the eye. Something to eat, something to make you wise. Hey, look at all these young people that are caught up around the world. In Singapore, there are many now being caught up in the world. Because Singapore is opening up. It's trying to be more democratic, more freedom, more liberty. All the media comes in all around the world. This is the convention center. This is the world now. Singapore is known. The little red dot. And people are coming here. Also, the thing flocking here. And the young people are faced with all, wow. Do you know what I'm saying? And you are looking at it. And if you do not know how to say no, then you find that it will keep coming. You make it wise. Oh yeah. Young people caught up in all the things, they think that you make it wise. And that is what in history, in ancient pagan worship, if you ever study, look into, well, go to the library, National Library, and do a little research. Worship in ancient time, worship in pagan religion. Every time you see that, you see a priest with some priestess, and they would have orgy in the temple. It's supposed to give them wisdom. I don't understand how. Give them wisdom through all that act. It means to say their God's mind, their gods, if they are gods, must be a filthy mind. You only get wisdom by that act. No. And that's the real thing, problem here. How do you begin to have knowledge? What does the Bible say about what is the beginning of knowledge? Huh? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is that right? And knowledge, isn't it? Isn't that right? And so why is it so? Because God is the tree of life. He is life. Jesus Christ is the tree of life. So in order for you to have real wisdom and knowledge, you have to partake of this life. In order to understand knowledge. But what happened to God is to turn the whole thing around. They seek knowledge in order to have life. You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, meditation. You know, well, like Buddha. Huh? I mean, he was sincere. So, you know, old man, a dying man or whatever. So he said, what is life all about? So he seeks knowledge, you know what I mean? In order to obtain life. And think, finally you come up with that knowledge, you will reincarnate up, downward or upward. When you reach upward, you reach Nirvana. And you're one with, I don't know what, universe? You know what, you know Nirvana? Huh? You know, you know what Nirvana is? You don't know what Nirvana is? Oh my. Eternal bliss, one with the universe, one with whatever is out there. And you're no more reincarnate. Wow. Otherwise you go down to a donkey, to a pig, to a crab, to... Then I don't know what happened to that little one, whether they come up or not. So life cycle. You know? Then knowledge, you go to find eternal life. No! You got to get life first before you understand all these things that you see in the heavens and the earth. Knowledge come first, come by having life in God, in Jesus Christ. You cannot. And that's why the problem is that, oh, you'll make it wise. Get this knowledge. You'll make it wise. Eat this fruit. Huh? I don't know, that the Chinese have a lot of belief. You know the peach? They supposed to eat peach, longevity or something, peach, and what else they eat, you give you life. And that's why you can see all the otter peaches and oranges and whatever not. Huh? I don't know why they got so greedy in all that stuff. They make God thought they are already wise, isn't it? If they are. Apparently there's something wrong. You know. Let's go on now here. So, when the Bible tell us in verse 7, the eyes of them were both open and knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now they realize they were naked now. They were naked before, but they were not ashamed. But now when they're naked, they realize they were, oh my. What is happening? This couldn't be. We should cover ourselves. Before they weren't covering themselves. Do you understand that? And God came down. The first thing God did was to look for Adam, not look for Eve. God doesn't, don't tell me God doesn't know, huh? And then that's the thing is that why are denomination theologians, when they interpret some of the verses, they interpret so literal. And then when here, see, God comes down and then look for Adam. Now the question is, does God know that what took place in the garden? He certainly knew. Now why did he want to call for Adam? You must need to understand. And why must God act like he doesn't know? Like some people, like my pastor in the exams of God before, God chose not to know. How can God choose not to know? How can he choose not to know? When he knows, how can he choose not to know? Then you must say, well, okay, if God knows, then if I'm a sinner, now I'm a Christian, my sins are forgiven, he knows what I did, but he has forgiven me. Does he still know? Does he still know? He doesn't know. How come he doesn't know? Because of the blood. There is something that blocked him from seeing that. Literally or what? Or spiritually? Both. Whatever you want to say. The blood takes care of it. And God meant it. And he won't lie about it. But if God knew who's going to this way, going that way, who will be born, who will not, you tell me he chose not to know. Who will be saved, who will not be saved. That's not true. Do you understand that now? So while God, the Bible just give us a record, of course God always holds a man responsible. Why Adam? And so, oh yeah, why are you hiding thyself? Why are you coming with that fig leaf? And so of course, you know, the story tells us to just make aware about, make us realize they were naked and trying to hide themselves away from God. Now when we are, when we sin against God, you know we all tend to run away from God, eh? We don't want to come to church because it's so sinful. You know, I've done something wrong. We don't want to come back to church. We did this and that. No face to face the society. No face to face the brothers and sisters. Right? Don't you think we feel that way, don't we? But brothers and sisters, you know what? Whatever we have done, just because you did something wrong, and we all know it, doesn't mean that we don't understand. Then you need to be afraid or ashamed. And you know what? The thing is that you become self-condemnation. Huh? If you have repented and said, oh, I'm sorry, you know all this. Don't tell me the church branches don't forgive you. They do not know what you are going through in life. Isn't it so? Huh? You see? And if God has forgiven you, then why are you still judging yourself? Why are you still condemning yourself? Right? That woman caught in adultery. She has forgiven her, right? Is any man still accusing? No. Then your sin is forgiven, you go. If God no longer judge us, no longer condemns us, he forgives us. So we should not continue to feel that we are condemning us. No, just that we are just committing ourselves that we are not worth it and all this. You know what? It shows that You don't believe that God has forgiven you. No man judge you anymore. You see. So don't feel that way or anything like that. When we go through trial and trouble, we all have a problem. Alright then, who asked you to partake of that treason? Actually not to eat of it. Oh, verse 12, isn't it? The woman, you give it to me. And I eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, so well, I've done it all. He says, well, you know what? It's a serpent. See. Now, go back to verse 9 of chapter 2. The tree of life in the midst of the garden. Here, let me tell you, explain a little bit. Now, when we look at this garden, I mean, it's so beautiful, and we know where that place is now. And in the garden, of course, we have Adam, we have Eve, and we have the serpent. And we know, as I said this before, that the serpent has a maid. But the Bible won't have to necessarily mention it. How do we know that he had a maid? The Bible tells us that God created all animals in pairs. Huh? And yet there are people that don't believe that it is so. That's because the Bible did not say it. Show me a scripture. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? There's a those in our entire message. Show me a code. Hey, brother, use some common sense. God has given us an intellect. And I said this. If Adam was created in the Spirit of God, he must have the intellect of God. The passion, the feeling of God. Isn't it so? Because we are created in His image. That's why God said, let us reason together, because men have already fallen. I cannot understand what God is saying or doing. God said, no, come, let us reason together. Reason with me now. God is the Word. Make manifest to us in Christ Jesus. So why is it so difficult for us to come to the Father and reason with Him? We're not reasoning with science, you know what I mean? It's merely the Word of God made known to us. When I say this, of course, there are a lot of people say, oh, is Zygbergen saying he's reasoning? Is he just giving his reasoning? Why is it so hard to reason with the Bible? The Bible said that all animals are created in pairs, so if there is a serpent, there must be a Mr. Serpent. I don't have to produce you a quote or a verse to say that there was a Mr. Serpent. Do I have to? No, I don't have to. And if you think that I'm reasoning, then by all means, go ahead and believe that there is only one serpent and there is no female serpent. How ridiculous can it get if you cannot see it? Now, we go over to, you know, the Bible said, if you look at Eden, we have the Garden of Eden. Now the Bible said in chapter 2 verse 9, it said, in the midst of the garden, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And this needs people to understand that in the midst of the garden, we were set up for you. This is the Garden of Eden. Alright? After all, it's east of Eden. And here in the center here, in the midst, somewhere in the midst, must be Eden. I mean, must be where the two trees is, isn't it? Right here. Somewhere there we consider this middle. So you have said two trees, if they are literal trees, planted there. And I said that two little trees cannot stand together in one single spot. Because in the midst, there's only one point, it's in the midst. Like it or not, we know that there's only one. We said, midst of the room, or in the middle of the room, where is the middle? And one middle is only one spot. No two things can stay in the same spot. Let's consider the very center of it. Isn't it so? So you cannot have two trees, to have one tree, the tree of life, and then another, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, standing like this. All from the same root. You cannot. What is it or not? So when we understand that it is not therefore literal trees. Now, we already said that if the tree represents life thing, something that is can give some kind of life, impart some kind of a life, We can also look at, for example, Romans 8, verse 2. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 2. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ have made me free from the law of sin and death. Now you see here, the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Now the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, that speaks of a tree. A substance that produces something for you. Right? Now we are not talking about, you know, the Lord of God. What did the song they say? Probably used to sing, the Lord of God is perfect, converting the soul. Is that alright? Huh? So that talks about, now the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. It converts the soul and gives life. Isn't it? Because of the life that is in the Lord of God. If you can believe, God give it to you to guide you to life. Huh? But of course, if you obey without a revelation and you become a religious thing, it doesn't produce that kind of life. You see. Now, it also says in these same verse, have made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is another tree which is the law of sin and death. So there are therefore two trees, so to speak, one opposing the other. Now, this Bible you hold in your hand. Now, we call it the Word of life. Or, we call it the Word of God. Right? Now, as I said before, you can produce life, you can produce death, depending on how you use it. Huh? It's a two-edged sword, you cut this way or cut that way. If you don't know how to cut, you're going to kill somebody else in the wrong way. Right or not? So, if it is life in here, then you got to produce something that will let you come to that place or that revelation of truth continue to feed on that life. But over time, if people don't have to use this same thing, it becomes something that is stagnant. Because of religious, traditional belief, then the word of the Lord binds you. Keep you in prison. A cage. Cage up. And you don't have the freedom, don't have the liberty, and you actually be feeding on something which is no longer the word of God. Huh? So right now, when we look at this Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the law of God that produced life, as opposing to the law of sin and death that works in the body. Now we realize that this man, well, this is Da Vinci's man. We know that the Bible says, in the midst of the garden, well, midst means middle. And I said that human beings are so perfectly made. But you know, somehow along what happened in the Garden of Eden, because of the high breeding, and then we have people now, standard, very tall. Huh? You understand what I mean? Because of the high breeding, the genes all took place, and you can see that in the paper there was a man who was like, how many cm? 50 cm. It's a man, 50 cm. And now, have you seen men who have long body and short leg? It's all a proportion of short body but long leg. You know, these are all because of genetic. Because of the high breeding, inbreeding, whatever it is, incest that took place also, you know, all these genes are all messed up. It's not meant to be like that. Dog produce dog. Don't produce a cat dog. That's hybriding. And in China, try to do it, you know. You try to use a gorilla. Gorilla! You know, to incubate with the seed of a woman. They try to see whether they will produce a man that is strong like a gorilla, but it's a human man. Well, think about it. China scientists were trying to do it. Back over in the 70s or 80s, they were trying it. Of course, they cannot. Because why? The affinity is not there anymore. The closest of animal that could affinity with man is and was the serpent. And he's God. Right? So the Bible says, now in the midst of the garden, we know that perfect man, 6 feet tall, 6 feet tall, 6 feet, perfect in balance in everything, physics, very symmetrical in everything. There are very few men, very few percentage of men that are so symmetrical, or women. So you take, if it's 6 feet, 3 feet from the head, 3 feet from the foot up, you made somewhere right in the center. Exactly. Huh? Then you draw the middle line right now, the middle. There is what? Your midst of the garden. And your people can't even see what happened right there. And right in this part over here, it's where the law resides. Our life is controlled by laws. You don't believe that? Law of gravitation pull, and law of this, that law. All kinds of law, even governmental law, social law, whatever law. There is always a law, isn't it? When you wash your face, what do you use to wash your face? Do you use acid? What do you use to wash your face? You use soap. And what is soap? Why does soap work? Because there is a law about this chemical, that how you remove grease and what stuff. Huh? How do you remove a latex from your finger? How do you remove latex? Do you use soap? You don't use soap. Because there is no law about this latex. So what do you? You use oil. See, there's all this coming, there's all law, this law, this law, all kinds of law. Law. Okay, how come you breathe? Say, I want oxygen. Well, you want oxygen? Just give me pure oxygen, see what happened to you. Huh? And sometimes when we are sitting now, all of a sudden, we start breathing like this. Why? Because you see, we have become very shallow and the carbon dioxide need to trigger you. So all these are chemicals, these are all laws applied. So the same thing with life, there is a law. Everything that God gave, everything that God made, they have a purpose. A lot of people don't say, understand, don't believe in this. You know everything, everything is, what about the eye? What's the purpose of the eye? What's the purpose of your tongue? What's the purpose about your ear? Huh? Oh, like this, huh? Uh-huh, good. Then the mouth speaks something else and carry the gossip. You know, and you go on and on and on. And then your eyes start to see things, you see things. You know, or let go where you're not supposed to go, and things like that, which is not supposed to be. Everything God created is supposed to be good for us to live the life that is good. And so the same thing with the reproductive organ. The purpose is to use that tree of life. And that's where we have one tree, where we have the other tree. Two opposing trees, two different trees altogether. All from the same spot. When you take one tree, you're not taking the other tree. It means that's it. You have used the wrong tree. If you took the wrong tree. If you could take the right tree, continue to take the right tree. The same thing with us today. We can actually we still have choices to make, huh? Isn't it so? We still have to make choices. If the rapture was yesterday, would you still be here today? Huh? And you have never made a choice yet, we invite you to pray. And that is true. You make a choice. And Jesus Christ said, whosoever will come, come, he that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that is real. You understand? And we make a choice, we come. But still, you know one thing? Jesus said, well, whosoever the Father gives to me will now be taken out from me. Do you know what it means? You are in her godsend. But you still can make a choice. You can turn around and you can go away from the Lord. And that's the reason why those whose name are brought out from the book of life. Do you know what I mean? It's just like a man married a woman. She is his. As long as he have him, her, she will remain in as wife to him. But if she choose to leave him, then she make the choice. Do you know what I mean? She will hold her tight. But he says, no, I don't want this because of your in-law, because of outlaw, your what law, and all your friend, all this, I cannot stand it. There's some people quarrel over the in-law problem. And you choose to go. And you have make an our choice. You are pregnant with a child. You have a choice. Like many of these who are caught in fornication and have a child. What they choose? They choose to abort it. Just as the song said, they thought they make the right choice. Oh, mommy, if you only could listen to that third voice. That's crying out. Do you understand that? So we're still making choices every day. And we don't take the tree of life. We don't take the right tree. We don't take the right tree out of what the Lord has given us. Don't you know what? We are getting off the wrong tree. We will be eating out of the wrong tree. Out of this midst of the garden. And that's what causes the fall. A misused of the organ. A misuse of something that God created for a purpose. And brought forth sin into the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Bless thy name, Father. I pray, Lord, in all that you have given us to understand that, Lord, help us be able to be a witness of the truth, Lord. For those that are yet to come in, our loved ones especially, even so that if we love them, Lord, and we want them to be a part of the family of God, help us to, oh Lord, to bring them in. Our friends or colleagues or whoever that may be, Lord. But when your Spirit moves us to be a witness, we pray, Lord, you give us the courage to be able to speak out, Father. We thank you, Father, for knowledge, all because we have partook of eternal life, partook of that tree of life that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord bless you.